right, that's a bunch of you. I heard it snowed in Micanopy. I didn't see it, but I went up to the feed store. They said it was snowing pretty good up there and snowed in Gainesville and Alachua. So it's always exciting when it snows in Gainesville, I think. Y'all like the cold weather? All right. If you need notes, there's notes in your worship guide. If you need an extra one, just raise your hand. The ushers will bring you one. Are you enjoying our 21 days of prayer and fasting? Yeah. Today's day 19. Day 19 of 21 days. It's been, to me, the most rewarding, probably the most challenging, difficult 21-day fast I've done. I don't know why. But it's also been the most rewarding. And I'm believing these next 2 days going to get even more revelation from God. If you haven't, if you didn't know about it or haven't joined in, it's not too late. We still have a couple days left, and we're going to wrap it up with a prayer meeting Tuesday night right here, 7 p.m. from 7 to 8, and we're going to wrap up the 21 days. We're going to pray together. We're going to worship, and we decided as a team, the pastors were talking about it, we want to pray for you on Tuesday night. So come, we're going to pray for our church, pray for our country. And then we're going to pray for anybody that wants prayer. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need a breakthrough, financial breakthrough. You need a miracle. I believe after the whole church fasting and praying for 21 days, there's going to be an anointing here to break yokes, to set people free, to help you. So come Tuesday night, join in the prayer, and we're going to have a time where we pray for you. It's going to be exciting. Well, today I want to talk about the God life. And what I want to think about in 2016... let's think about living eternally significant lives. That's the perspective I want to have. Let's not just live for today. Let's live for eternity. How many of you have loved ones that have gone on before you? To me, it's a great comfort to know I'm going to see them again. Amen. Maybe they left this planet a lot sooner than you wanted. But you know what? Eternity is a long time. And we ought to live with an eye towards eternity and always be thinking about eternity, because it's so easy in this life just to be thinking about today. The world around us is screaming now, today, existentialism, eat, drink, and be merry. Today we live, tomorrow we die, and you don't know. And the world is giving us a different gospel. And we don't realize how surrounded we are by it and how bombarded we are with this idea of just living for today. And the gospel gives us a different representation. It gives us a different perspective. It says, live for eternity. Take advantage of today to store up treasure in heaven. That's what I want to think about. Let's make 2016 the year of the God life. That's what the 21 days is all about. It's setting the tone for the year, changing our focus for the year, changing our vision, finding new freedom. What's a God life? This is in your notes. A life focused on God's purposes and controlled by God's will. That's a fill in the blank in your notes. That's how I'm defining a God life. Because you might be Christians, you might be on this planet and not be living a God life. And later on in this message, I'm going to talk to you about the alternative to the God life. But a God life, I'm defining it as a life focused on God's purposes and controlled by God's will. Now, I don't believe God ever forces his will on us. I believe he has a will for every one of our lives. He designed us, he created us, he purposed us. He has a destiny for us. We've been predestined, but we've not been pre-motioned. We've been given free will. We may or may not live out our destiny that God ordained. He never forces his will. In fact, the Bible says it is not his will, God's will, that anyone should perish. It's not his will that anyone should be condemned to hell. That's what the Bible says. But Jesus said a majority of people would do that. So obviously, his will is not forced upon mankind. His will is not forced on you. It's no guarantee that you're going to live the life God wants you to live this year. You and I have to make that decision. We have to purpose in our life to fulfill God's destiny and God's purpose. Our will comes into play. God never violates our free will. He will reveal it to us, and today we're going to look at some things about his will to help us understand. If we understand his general will, it's easier to find out his specific will for your life. His will for your life is a little bit different than my will. It will fulfill some general mandates, and being in the will of God, we will not violate some commands. So there's some general perspectives that help us stay on the right path. But that's another part of the 21 days is getting closer to God so I can hear exactly what he wants me to do and what he wants you to do. You have to hear that. So what does a God life look like? Go with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy, if you got your Bibles, or we have it up on the overhead here. It's also in your notes. 1 Timothy chapter 5 tells us something about the will of God. It says this: rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So some of you have been fasting for 19 days to find God's will. There it is. There's your answer to prayer. You got it after 19 days. There it is right there. This is God's will for you. Now, maybe you haven't looked at these three aspects of God's will, and we're going to break these down today. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. It's what God's telling. It's God's will for us to rejoice always. So I'm going to break down the three of them. The first one is rejoice always. This is God's will for me, for you. This is a tough one, to rejoice always. I like this because I like to rejoice. I like to be happy. I like to have fun. And I'm glad to know that it's part of God's will for my life is that he wants me to have fun. He wants me to enjoy life. He wants me to do things that bring pleasure. He said to rejoice. But see, that's a decision. Rejoice always. You have to choose to be a happy person. Someone told me last week, said 2 weeks ago, I just kind of touched on this because we used this verse in talking about prayer. And I touched on being happy and that it was a decision. And someone told me last week that they took what I said, they took it with them to work. I love it when I hear how people take what we talk about and actually apply it, because I believe the Bible works, the Word of God works. And this person said, you know what, I thought about that. And she said, I went to work, and my area of responsibility in work means that when people call in sick, I have to rearrange schedules, do things, and it always upsets me. She said, I realized after that, that was like my default setting. That whenever this happened, and it happens regularly, it put me in a bad mood and I was angry with everybody. And she said, I made a decision to not do it. And she said, after a couple days, people started coming up to me and said, what happened to you? And she said, it's a lot more enjoyable. And she realized, yes, and I want to say that to every one of us. You can just make a decision to rejoice always. You can't control what happens to you. You can control how you react to what happens to you. It's a decision. Did you know being angry is a decision? Say, no, I can't help it. Yeah, you can help it. You can. You can just make a decision. I'm just not going to go there. I'm not going to do that. And the Bible gives us a command. It's a real challenge. I'm going to challenge you with this. For 2016, I want you to think about this. Rejoice always. I'm just going to let you know, I'm not a doomsday prophet, but I want to let you know, crud's going to happen this year, okay? Don't throw anything at me. It's true. Crud's going to happen because the earth is under a curse. Our great forefather Adam and Eve capitulated their authority over to a renegade angel named Satan. He's been given a limited authority for a period of time. There's a curse on the planet. There's people on the planet. There's demons on the planet. There's sickness on the planet. I predict, crud will happen to you. I don't prophesy, but I predict crud will happen this year. How you react to it is up to you, and you should decide now how you're going to react to crud. Because crud will happen. When we get to heaven, won't be no more crud. Thank God. Can I get an amen for what happens in heaven? Thank God. But the earth is still the earth. That's why we had to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Because when Jesus died, he didn't take away the curse. He taught us how to live up under the curse and have victory within it. And here's a key to have victory. Rejoice always in the midst of the crud. Jesus said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. Jesus, just like me, he said, it'd be nice to say, oh, yeah, once you become a Christian, you'll float through life on flowery beds of ease. You'll never have enough. No, it's just, Jesus didn't say, see, in the world you'll have tribulation, but what did he say? Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. It's a decision to choose to rejoice. When we moved to L.A. to help plant a church out there, I had a job working at a place called Fitness Equipment of California, the most established fitness equipment place in L.A. And I had a boss, my immediate boss, Bill Gilbert, was the most fun person I've ever worked for in my life. The owner, Don McCormick, you know, he kind of came in and went out, mostly played golf, and he was a nice guy. But Bill Gilbert, he was in World War II. He was a bombardier in the Air Force, and he went to USC. And I asked him, Bill, why are you so, I've never met anybody so positive in my whole life. What makes you so positive? He said, well, when I was in college, I read this book. I don't know who was it that guy that used to write those books about having friends and influencing people, about being positive. And he said, I just made up my mind right then and there. I was going to be positive for the rest of my life. He said he just made a decision. He was the most positive. I loved going to work. Have you ever had a boss like, I like to, on my day off, I'd drop in just to say hello. I mean, I love, you know, what made work fun was Bill was, it didn't matter what happened. He had something funny to say, something positive to say. If I had gone and made a delivery and I came back, he'd always have some compliment. Man, you're the fastest delivery man we've got. You know, I loved being around the guy. You ever had anybody like that in your life? Why have you ever had the opposite? You know, maybe most of you had the opposite. But see, he just made a decision. And I love that guy. I used to, even after we left, I'd keep in touch with him. He's died years ago. I mean, he was a lot older than me. But, you know, and I think of somebody in our church. I'll give you, there's a lot of people I could use as examples in our church. But I was just thinking about it this morning. Jan Kuhn is one of the happiest people you'll ever meet in your life. Haven't you noticed that? She's our head greeter. Maybe that's why she's our head greeter. It's nice to have happy greeters, you know. But I noticed it this morning because I was thinking about it before service. Sure enough, she walks in. She's all smiles and say, how do you like this weather? I don't like the cold, but she's smiling and she's laughing. She's even happy even though she doesn't like the cold. Now, maybe if you met her for the first time, you say, well, yeah, that's because she lives a charmed life. She's never had any problems. After all, she's got, as her husband, the nicest guy in the world. That's why she's so happy. She doesn't have any. But if you get to know Jan, you know she's had a lot of heartache. She's had a lot of difficulties. She's had a lot of challenges. She's got even just to very day, things in her life, family members that are very perplexing, very challenging. So it's not because she doesn't face what every one of us in this room faces. She's obviously made a decision to be a happy person. And you and I have to make that same kind of decision. It's a choice that we have to make. Did you know that nobody can choose your attitude for you? Good or bad, nobody can choose your attitude. Your attitude is your choice. So here it tells us, what's the will of God for my life? Rejoice always. The next thing was pray continually. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on this because we did a two-part series at the beginning of the year. Pray first, part one and part two, and I use this verse, pray continually. If you miss those, you can watch them on our website because our awesome dream team gets those edited and they get them up on the website for you to be able to look at and you can go back. But we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and that's why we're doing 21 days of prayer and fasting to set a standard for the year to remind us for the rest of this year to do what? Pray first. Before you whatever, pray first. Before you make that phone call, before you cuss that person out, before you beep that horn, before you make that appointment, before you show up, pray first. It'll make a big difference in your life. Pray continually. The third thing there is give thanks in all circumstances. How you doing on that one? How'd you do last year? Give thanks. This is the Bible, man. I didn't make it up. God knows what we face, but he's giving us clues to how to have a successful life. This is what I'm calling the God life. How many would like to live a God life this year? And rejoice always. Pray continually. And that just pray before you do anything, and you'll be praying continually. It doesn't mean, you know, sell your house and quit your job and go live on an island and pray and just sit there and pray. No, he wants us to live in the real world. But pray continually. And then here's another clue. Here's another secret to the God life. Give thanks in all circumstances. Now, why did he have to say all circumstances? Because, well, we pray for all the circumstances to just go perfect. And God says, okay, pray that, but whatever comes, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, I looked up that word all in the Greek. I don't know if you know this, but I know a little Greek. His name is Spiro. He has a delicatessen downtown. He's a little short guy. I know a little Greek. But I also looked that word up in the Greek, all, and do you know what it literally means in the Greek?
All.
You guys are amazing, yeah. It means all, believe it or not, all circumstances. There's something to be thankful for. Isn't there something that God brought you through that even though right now you're going through something you don't want to be going through, you can still be thankful that he got you this far, and you can actually be thankful in faith that he's going to get you through this. I asked one guy, I said, how you doing? He said, I'm going through hell. And I said, that's great. He said, why do you say that? I said, because you said you're going through hell. That means you're going to come out the other side. It's going to be all right. Praise God. You're going through hell. You're not staying there. You're not sending in a change of address, and you're just going to be there the rest of your life. You're going through whatever you're going through it. Give God thanks. Say, I'm going to get through this thing. I'm going to make it to the other side. We're going to come out. It's going to be all right. It's a faith statement, giving thanks in all circumstances. I'm going to make it. Just why don't you just say that? I'm going to make it. You see, the devil, he used to tell you, you're not going to make it. You know how many times the devil told me you're not going to make it? He's a liar. I made it. You're going to make it too? Just give thanks in all circumstances. Thank him for the answer. Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious about anything. That's in your Bible too. But in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. See, present your request to God. When you go to God and ask him for something, be sure you never end the prayer in a complaining tone. End it in a thankful tone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, you know what's best, and I'm going to leave it in your hands, and you're going to do what's best. How many of you know God's smarter than me? Smarter than you? We like to tell him how to do it, when to do it, where to do it, all that. Just leave it to God because he's smarter. He knows what needs to take place. Let's trust him. Yeah. I want to give you four values that I'd like you all to consider as a foundation for your life in 2016. You ponder these and see if they're relevant to you, if they're biblical, if you want to accept them or not. I'll put them forth like this. I'll give you all four of them, then we'll break them apart. Values to have. Number one, these are fill in the blanks on your notes too. Love God. I'll go through them. And then we'll come break them down. Love God. Number two, love people. Values to have in your life. Love God, love people. Number three, pursue excellence. And number four, have fun. So let's look at these and break them down. Love God. You can't love God too much. This should be the single greatest driving force in our life. How many of you love God? I mean, what's not to love? What's he done for me? When I think about how he reached me and what it took for him to love me when I was not lovable. God is so awesome. You know, that should be the number one driving force of our life, is to love God in everything else that we do. It's all about God. He created us. He put us here. He put us here for a purpose. Let's continually to live the God life. Use this as a foundational value. Number one in my life is to love God. And then number two is to love people. This one's a little bit harder. I'll go ahead and admit it. It's a little harder to love people than God, even though sometimes it's a challenge to love God because we get caught up in the busyness of life. And we know we should love God. And what's not to love about God? After all, he's perfect. And he's perfect. And sometimes we actually find it a challenge to love God, don't we? But people, oh my goodness, people, they're far from perfect. I mean, people are messed up. Did you know that? Everybody but me, the whole world is messed. What's wrong with them? Yeah, that's just life, man. People are, man, we've got it. You know what? Y'all got issues. You know what? I've got issues. You know what? All God's children got issues. And that's the challenge. And God knew it when they asked Jesus. He said, give us one commandment that, you know, we can hang our hat on. He says, okay, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And they're like, whoa, we just wanted one. Can't just give you one. Because if you got love God, you got to love people, because God loves people. As messed up as we are. Aren't you glad God saw? I'm so glad he saw past where I was when he reached me. And just still reached me anyway. We got to have that same kind of attitude about everybody. We just have to love people. I know it's hard sometimes. People can be hard to love. I can be hard to love. You can be hard to love. But we have to do it. So Peter brought that challenge to Jesus. After he said that, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Peter came to him one day and said, yeah, you know, I'm just paraphrasing. I think you remember the passage, and you see where I'm going with this. But I look at it like this. He said, you know what? One of, you know, your followers, these people that you want me to love, I'm having kind of a hard time. How much slack should I give them? Come on, give me like a cutoff point where I can go ahead and punch them in the nose. Just, you know, like, and I'm going to go ahead and make a suggestion, like 7 times. Like if they do it 7 times in the same day, that's the limit to my forgiveness. That's it. Was that okay with you, 7? You know, that's a good biblical number. You know, 3 is 2, but maybe that's a little short. But, you know, 3. But 7, you know, okay, God, I'm really being grandiose here, Jesus, 7. How's that? You like that? And Jesus goes, well, 7, let me think about that. No, how about this, Peter? How about 70 times 7? You know, that's in one day. Yeah. What he was saying was, no, you can't draw a limit. You can't draw a line. You just have to make up your mind to love people right where they're at, just the way they are. It doesn't mean you approve of everything that they do, but you love them. Yeah. And here's a key look. If you love people, you want to see them saved and growing in relationship with God. That's why we do what we do as a church. That's why our two goals, primary goals of church, is to win souls and make disciples. That's why we're so excited about last year we led 51 people to the Lord. The year before that, 52 people to the Lord. And I was talking about last week how it's teamwork. It's all of us. No one person does it. It's everyone that cuts the grass and makes the coffee and cuts the fruit and watches the children and runs the soundboard. And it's a whole bunch of people that we make this thing happen, that pretty much every week someone gets converted from a life of darkness into the light. It gets to know Jesus. That's why we do what we do. Because if you love people, the number one thing, yeah, it'd be nice to help people live a longer life, extend their life, have a happier life. But the real reality, the most important thing, is that everybody's going to die and face two destinies. One of separation from God for eternity, a place of torment, or eternity with God in heaven. That's a pretty sobering reality. So if you love people, you want them saved. And the next thing is, after they're saved, you want them growing in the relationship with God. The next value I gave you is pursue excellence. Pursue excellence. I'm going to give you a working definition for excellence. We have it up here on the screen. It's a fill in the blank in your notes. Excellence is doing the best that you can with what you have. Excellence is doing the best that you can with what you have. So the temptation is to say, next year I can live a life of excellence. Or when this happens, no, excellence is doing the best that you can with what you have. Because the Bible says he's faithful in the little things will be made ruler over much. Yeah. If we're not faithful with what we already have, why would God give us any more? So excellence is doing the best that you can with what you have. It's not blaming it on somebody else. Whatever you have, what's in your hand? That's what God said to Moses. Moses said, I can't do this big job. And God said, what's in your hand? He said, a stick. He said, I'll use that. So our temptation is to say, one day I'll serve God. One day I'll do this or I'll do that. Then I could have a life of excellence if this would happen. No, it won't happen if we're not excellent with what we have. Excellence is doing the best that you can with what you have. It's not waiting for something to happen in order to be excellent. It's not tomorrow, it's today. Let me give you some just very simple but practical items to think about and check off in your own life. That's why I gave you a lot of fill in the blanks in the notes today, because you want to just jot some of these things down. Here, let me just throw some things out to you about this year, thinking about, and this, some of these might hit some people and some of you, it might not. Hopefully you won't hit me if I hit you, but with one of these. How about this one? Be on time this year, 2016. If you have not been in a habit of being on time, how about being on time? That's something you can do. You don't have to win the lottery to be on time. You don't need somebody to, you know, say some, be nice to you. You can just make a decision. That's something within your own control. Just, that's a matter of excellence. That's something that you're using. The thing that God's given the equal amount to every single one of us, 24 hours every day, gives us the same amount of time, and using it wisely. Because you know what? It shows respect. Being not on time is to dishonor whoever it is that you're supposed to be on time with. It's a dishonor. It's actually a statement of arrogance and disregard for others. I'll just throw that out to you. I'm glad nobody threw anything at me with that one. Being on time. Another thing, how about pursue excellence in your health? It's a challenge maybe for some people, but think about it. God's given you stewardship over this temple. That's what he calls it, a body. And we're stewards over it. How you doing? I'm talking about pursuing excellence in your life. How are you doing it? Managing this miraculous asset that he's given you. If you ever study anatomy or physiology, it's like, this is amazing how this thing works. It's amazing that it works. I mean, but how are you doing in managing your health? Getting enough rest, getting enough sleep, getting enough exercise, feeding it properly, you know, keeping the garbage out of your mind. That's one of the most destructive things to your health, you know, is worry and thoughts and anger and fear. How are you doing? Just throwing some things out to you. To pursue excellence, be on time, pursue excellence in your health. How about this? How about keeping your word? This is a small thing that everybody has power over. Keep your word. If you tell somebody something, I mean, there's a guy that we used to go to church with, he told me, he was a very successful businessman. He used to be a policeman in Gainesville. He was a real nice guy, and he's, I don't know, by now he'd be up in his 90s. I haven't seen him for a long time, but he told me this story. He told me about a lesson that he learned. We were in a little Bible study. He said when he was about 10 years old, he used the family lawnmower, push mower, and he was going around getting jobs, cutting people's grass. And he talked to this guy, and he said, I have another house that I rent out that the grass needs to be cut. How much you want to charge? And he told him whatever it was, you know, $2, $5, whatever it was back in that day. And the guy said, okay, meet me tomorrow. And he took him over there, and it was an abandoned house. And he said the grass was like 3 feet tall, and he had this little push mower. And he said it took him like all day to cut about 5 feet of it. You know, and the thing would stall. And he had to keep working it. And his mother came to pick him up that day, and he said, I'm not doing the rest of that yard. She said, yes, you are. You gave that man your word. She said, yeah, but he didn't tell me. He said, that you told him. And she taught him a lesson. Yeah. It took him a week. He spent more in gasoline, and at the end of the week, the guy came and paid him exactly what he told him. He said, but I never forgot that. He said, I never forgot what my mother taught me to keep my word. If I say anything, do it. Yeah. Keep your word. It's a good thing to pursue excellence. How about this? Be honest with others. You don't have to tell everybody everything. You don't have to tell the lady at the checkout counter how you're doing, tell her your whole life history and everything, how bad it is. No. But are you honest? Just, you know, maybe you have to say, well, honestly, I really can't share that with you right now. This is a good thing to pursue excellence in a life. It's just don't be fake. I think that's important. Don't be fake, because fake is exhausting. I know, I've been there. I felt like I had to be for years, had to, you know, put on an air like nothing was wrong. And I don't have to do that. I don't have to share everything with everybody, but there's people I can share stuff. But you got to be real. You got to be authentic. Hopefully you have somebody in your life you can open up with. This stuff is bothering you. That's why we have small groups, dream teams, pastors. Get in a small group, make relationships. Hopefully you have somebody who have some spiritual stability in their life that you can share some stuff with. Be honest with others. How about this? Be honest with yourself. Take an accurate assessment of who you are, where you are, where you're at with your relationship with God, where you're at on these different levels of excellence. How about this? Grow in some areas. Make a decision this year to grow spiritually. How would you do that? Say maybe you've never read through the Bible in a year. We have a place on our website where it will lead you day by day, just read through the Bible. Maybe you've never joined a small group. That would be a spiritual step, growth. Join a small group where you can develop some relationships. Real life change takes place through relationships. I mean, this is great coming in here, but sometimes you need people that you can see face to face. How about growing emotionally? Taking some steps. Small groups is another place to grow emotionally. How about growing mentally? Challenge yourself. Read a book. Take a course. Study. Learn something new. Pursue excellence. Growing socially. Maybe step out in an area that's been uncomfortable to you socially to make some new connections. How about growing financially? Maybe you've never been able to trust God with the tithe. Maybe that's like, yeah, okay, I see that in the Bible. Don't really trust God. Don't really think he's going to come through for me. That's an area maybe you want to step out in and test him. It's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me in this. He said, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. He said, now test me and see if I won't, and this is God's word, open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until it overflows and rebuke the devourer. Some of you need to have the devourer rebuked in your life, and that's the way to do it. Maybe you need to step out in a new area in your life and actually trust God in this area. How about this? How about be more organized? I had a guy tell me this in business. He was a business leader. He said, when I interview people for a job, the first thing I do is I give them this long thing to fill out so I can go look at their car. He says, I make my decision whether I want to hire them. I know what kind of employee they're going to be. Before they sit in the interview, they can tell me whatever they want to tell me. Their car tells me a lot more about them. He said, if I could look at their closet and their bedroom, I would do that, but I can't. But I can look at their car and decide. How about just being more organized? Do you know God's a God of order, not disorder? James 3:16, where jealousy, selfish ambition exists, there's disorder in every evil thing. Don't excuse it and say, that's just the way I am. God likes order. The whole universe is orderly. 1 Corinthians says, but all things must be done properly and in an orderly manner. Just giving you things to think about this year. You didn't think I was going to be so practical, did you? Some order. Arrange some stuff. How about this, a challenge for this year? How about lead something? How about step out into an area of leadership? Amen. What is leadership? Leadership is the ability to influence. Christians, by automatically, are leaders because we're called to influence somebody somewhere. Maybe you could lead a small group. Step out to the new level. Think about leading a small group. Small groups are designed such that they're built around what you already do. What do you like to do? Turn it into a small group. We'll show you how to do it. You like to ride motorcycles? Have a motorcycle small group. Whatever. You like to crochet? Have a crochet small group. You like to pray? Have a prayer small group. Whatever. We have one guy, he's a ninja warrior. He's got a ninja warrior small group. They climb things, they jump, they swing. They do stuff like that. Lead a small group. Maybe get on a dream team. Lead something. Maybe lead a horse to water. That's a good challenge right there. Y'all know that's, lead a horse to water, but you can't make him swim, right? Is that the way it goes? No. I'm just kidding. Okay. Or maybe this might be a big step for you. Lead a prayer. We had a guy last year came to church, and he heard a message. He told me the next week, he said, you know what? You said something. He said, I have all these opportunities. He was a professor at the university. And he said, a student came to me and told me about all these problems. And I said, can I pray for you? He said, it was the first time in my life I ever prayed for somebody. He said, it was amazing. Maybe that's a step for you this year. Just, you feel like praying for somebody, but you're so afraid. Just take a chance. Just lead a prayer. All right, the next value is this. Have fun. Have fun. Two mushrooms walked into a bar. The one mushroom says to the other mushroom, he says, you think any of these girls will dance with me? I says, I don't know. Why don't you try? So he walked up to this girl and says, hey, you want to dance? She says, heck no. He says, oh, come on. I'm a fun guy. We're on a mission. We're on a mission here at Victory Church. Stuff that we want to do. We want to win souls. We want to make disciples. We want to lead people to a relationship with Christ. But we want to have fun doing it. What's not to like about what we do as a church? Leading people to Christ every week. Developing relationships. Growing spiritually. Investing in eternity. Pleasing God. Loving people. And sure, Even in the church, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be difficulties because we all got issues. Remember that one? But we can still have fun. Jesus said, the thief, John 10:10, he said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. He wants us to have abundant life. Let's think about in 2016, living life to the full, living the God life. Now I want to tell you a couple enemies of this, and then we'll wrap it up. What's the biggest enemy of the God life? It's called the self life. A life focused on my purposes and controlled by my will. Now, where does this come from? Where does the self life come from? All right, it's not in your notes, but you can write it in there. It comes from a thing called birth. Write that down. Maybe you never heard it. Birth. It means when you're born. That's where the self-life comes from. Now, Pastor Mike and Elaine, they're getting ready to have a little baby. A little boy. His name, I'm going to name him Gabriel. No, that's his name. They already gave him a name. His name is Gabriel. He's going to be so cute. He's going to be a combination of a panda bear and a koala bear. That's what they are, a panda bear and a koala bear. He's going to be little Gabriel Pandawala Foreman. In fact, to tell you how cute he is, Mike's got a picture of the sonogram, but I actually, you don't know this, but I went to your doctor and got the live feed, the live video of the baby in the womb. There's baby Foreman in his mother's womb right now, developing into that little cute little panda. Watch him grab his foot. Oh, he's so good. Baby Foreman, we love you. You're great, baby Foreman. He's going to start off looking like a panda bear and become a koala bear. He's going to be so cute. But I hate to break your bubble, but I want to tell you, baby Foreman will be like every baby ever born on this planet. He will be selfish. He will be selfish. Like everybody that's a parent, they know their children, they're selfish. They want to eat when they want to eat. They want to move when they want to move. They want their diaper changed. They want to drink. They're selfish. That's all they think about is themselves. And a parent's job is to convey to their child that life is not about you getting what you want. It's about God getting what he wants. It's a lifelong challenge. It's born into us. That's why Paul said in Galatians 2, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We have to die to the self-life. Here's some contrast. The God life is eternal. The self-life is temporary. The self-life offers no true rewards. The God life offers huge rewards. The self-life pleases me. The God life pleases God. Why not live for what lasts? Why not get eternal rewards instead of temporary rewards? Matthew 16, whoever wishes to save his life, the self-life, he's going to lose it anyway. Whoever loses his life for the God life, for my sake, will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The Son of Man is going to come in glory, the glory of his Father with his angels, and will repay every man according to his deeds, eternity. Which life are you living, the self-life or the God life? What do you want to live in 2016, the self-life or the God life? If you can see it, it's temporary. Hebrews 11 is called the Hall of Faith. It talks about the great men and women of God. And right here in verse 9, it starts talking about this man named Abram who became Abraham. It says, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. He was looking forward to the city with foundations that's not here on this earth, whose architect and builder is God. All these people, the great hall of faith, were still living by faith when they died. They didn't receive the things promised in this life. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, and they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. This is not our home. It's just a test.
People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they've been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. If you keep looking at the world, you'll go back to the world. Start looking toward heaven. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. It's better in heaven. That's our home. That's our destiny. That's our destination. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he has prepared a city for them. He's got a place for you in heaven. It's going to be good. It's good. He's preparing the price that you have to pay on this earth to lay up treasure in heaven. It's all going to be worth it. Let's just be thinking about our life and just let's start making some decisions right now about the coming year. Let's live a God life, not a me life. Not an earthly life, not a now life, but a God life. Let's let this 21 days set the tone for the rest of the year. Let's just pray. You were made for more than this. You were made for more than just a meager earthly existence. You were made for more than paying bills, cutting grass, doing dishes, and changing diapers. You were made for more. You were made for eternity. You were made to help other people get into eternity. You were made for God. You were made to enjoy God. You were made to enjoy life. You were made for excellence. You were made for a purpose. If you're not even sure about your purpose, just pray right now. God will lead you. Come to Growth Track next week. We'll help you discover your purpose. We'll help you discover your gifts. Find out how to put them into practice. You were made to make a difference. How are you making a difference? You say, I need some help with that. Lead a small group. Lead a dream team. Get on a dream team. Make a difference. Let this year be the best year yet. Let's just make that a prayer right now. Let's just pray. Lord, I want this to be the best year that I've ever had. I want this to be a year of significance. I want to live a life of significance. I don't know how long I have on this planet. I don't know how long the planet has. Let my life count. Let me make a difference in someone else's life. Let me make a difference in eternity. Show me, Lord, what I need to do different this year, differently than what I did last year. Show me what changes to make. Show me how to be more like you. I want to be more like you. Lord, I want to have a good attitude. I want to rejoice always. I want to pray continually. I want to give thanks. I want to love God. I want to love people. I want to pursue excellence. I want to have fun. Show me how to live a balanced life. I give my life to you, Lord. Here it is. I give my life to you. You might be here today, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you say, you know what? I don't know if I've ever fully surrendered my life to Christ. You might be here today. If I asked you, if you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might say, I don't know. I think so. I hope so. I'm not sure. Does anybody really know? Yeah. The Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. If you're not sure, that's why you're here today. Well, how do you get eternal life, you say? Well, someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you must be born again. What does that mean? That means you surrender your life to Christ. That's simply what it means. It means you surrender. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes. He lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. You need to do that. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, in just a moment, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. But you might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I want to be with God, and I want to get back on track with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, and I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. But if you mean business with God, and today is a fresh start for you, just slip up your hand real quick. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Today, fresh start. You mean business with God. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them out. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day and forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved.
I'm a Christian.
I'm
going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God. Well, listen, I hope you meet me back here Tuesday night for closing our 21.